Off the Ball. GAA.
I always feel like the best players were able to grab a game by the scruff of the neck when an opportunity kind of presented itself. Great players and great teams were able to kind of seize that moment.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
And you are welcome to episode 119 of The Racing Pod and Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every week, folks, with analysis, interviews, tip stories, bit of crack as well. Reminder as well that the full Off the Ball Racing Pod is free every week wherever you get your pods. How are you, Johnny?
Good, JD.
So we're looking to, what, Cheltenham's 2.5 weeks away?
Hard to believe, yeah. 2 weeks today is the Gold Cup. And you know, the preview night circuit is just about to commence. It's
is it valuable or is it just fun?
No, it is valuable. Like, the, you know, if
do you learn stuff from the preview nights, and it, obviously you're going to learn everything from the Racing Pod, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you don't actually need, you just need to listen to the Racing Pod. But we don't supply you with a bar, and let's be honest, the preview night circuit is about having a few beers and listening to, you know, what you would hope is basically insider information. Somebody who works in the stable or is the trainer or is the jockey of a particular horse and
feeling the vibes.
Yeah, no, but absolutely. Like, you will hear, obviously you'll hear competing views on the same race, but there will be pointers where wow, the trainer, it may not even be the way he said it, but it's just something about the way he spoke about that horse, and that horse is 25-1 for a race. And
have you ever from a preview night gone, oh, you know what, there's good vibes about this horse?
I've basically forgotten a lot of it, but seriously, JD, you absolutely do, like, and yeah. Having said that, like, I remember Gordon Elliott being all over Brighter Days Ahead last year at a preview in at Navan Racecourse, and you know, she wasn't right at Cheltenham, but sometimes you get a lot of confidence for a horse, and then I remember the horse was so weak in the market at Cheltenham. But no, you can absolutely, I think they're worthwhile, and they're good fun, and often, you know, the money goes to charity as well.
Yeah, I remember there was a big confidence behind Size in Europe before he won the Champion Chase. I think Andrew Lynch was at a preview night I was at. He's 10-1 on the day. And then I remember a lot of negativity around Istabrak before Istabrak's Champion Hurdle when he didn't last home. He pulled up after the first or second flight. So that's 2002. So
they're definitely, and they're good fun. Like, you'll meet people there, and you know, there might be somebody in the audience you'll strike up a friendship with. You might end up in a horse outfit. You know, the trainer might be on sales mode. There's an interesting runner at the weekend we'll talk about where the horse came about by an owner meeting the trainer at the bar. Like, great stories like that. Cheltenham preview nights, I mean, they can get a bit exhausting after a while, but this Cheltenham is special.
Well, you have to not muddle your mind. That's the one thing, folks. Always trust your opinion. We're here to give you a guide in terms of a bit of a steer from our own expertise, but don't overload your mind. It's one mistake I think we've all made in the past when it comes to Cheltenham, and back your own opinion and wait. I like watching all races back. So I was watching the 1997 Gold Cup on, there's a thing called the History of Horse Racing. It's a thing on X, one of these channels. It was Mr. Mulligan, Tony McCoy's first Gold Cup. He was 20-1 shot. And I remember even reading about it subsequently that McCoy wanted to get off him because he would work so poorly the week before. But on the day, he was buzzing and then bounced off the ground and won.
Yeah, you get for it. I mean, was it Vautour? You get horses who are, like, there's a bit of a negativity because his last piece of work was crap. Like, and when you're talking about muddling the mind, that's a real difficulty when you fancy a horse.
Even Patrick Mullen said that Nick Rocket on the morning of the Grand National wasn't giving him a great feel, but came alive in the race course and
The one thing about Cheltenham, which I think is worth pointing out.
Mashburn, remember drifting like a barge in the Triumph, won it?
Sixes, was it?
Yeah.
The one thing about Cheltenham, I think, is worth pointing out that pretty much 100%, and you can nearly say 100%, the horses are trying. They really want to win. And that, we have to be honest, that's not the case every week. Horses have targets and they're being handicapped. Cheltenham, it doesn't matter what price they are, the horse will absolutely, the jockey, everyone's putting it all in. And that's the magic of it. And, you know, what I love about Cheltenham is you still remember having a 5 each way in a horse that won a 20-1 20 years ago. You still remember that magic of it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like no other. There's nothing to compare to Cheltenham, and there never will be.
Is Sublimity your favourite Cheltenham memory?
It kind of would have to be, like, because I was writing for the Sunday Independent at the time in a column, and like a betting column, and I had put him up at 60-1. I think I'd only a tenner each way in it myself. Now, when I say that, like, I, with respect, I normally bet more than a tenner each way. But for that, for some reason, I didn't have much on that horse. But I remember watching it in Lotts pub there, just off Abbey Street. We used to go to the Gin Palace in Lotts, and it was like, it was the same bar manager, great fella. And we all started to go to the to Cheltenham to watch in the bar. And I remember, like, with my good mates at the time, Sublimity winning was magic. It was just a relief to have that in your column where you put it up anti-post. Other, you know, but that was probably my favourite memory, yeah. Then yeah. My favourite race to was Archibald Brave Inc.
That's my favourite race as well?
Yeah.
There is a silhouette of me on the front page of the Irish Independent the following day in the winner's enclosure. You can make out my outline after Hardy Eustace, Desi Hughes, Conor Dwyer and Larbour and Lawrence Byrne.
Colin Murphy, like, and three Irish trainers, three different owners, three different jockeys, three different trainers. And I feel Cheltenham, like, see, I wasn't into Cheltenham before sort of 2003, but I feel that was peak Cheltenham, that particular era. And it's funny, like, sport has changed in my life. You know, it's not, you know when you were absolutely devastated when you were 12 or 13, your team lost. Obviously, you get perspective with time, and maybe racing was just, I wasn't that long into it then compared to now, but that era for me was, Cheltenham was at its, like, almost at its peak.
But it was because Ireland was an underdog,
exactly,
and it was, they're carrying tricolours into the winner's enclosure. That doesn't happen anymore,
exactly,
because it's something that's routine now, and it's an established fact that Ireland for the last 10 years has been the better performer at Cheltenham than the home team, which to the, I suppose, scratching of heads in the UK. And that's why the Jukebox Man is a good story. Harry Redknapp, it's a good story because you want a strong British challenge as well.
But it's
unthinkable when I was growing up that there'd be an Irish horse winning a Gold Cup or what happened maybe every 10 years, and it'd be front page news, and it'd be also the first story on RT61. Dawn Run won the Gold Cup. It was the front story on the 6 o'clock news in Ireland.
That was that time when Ireland was quite economically depressed. People were leaving and they wanted something, some bit of hope. And sport's amazing like that. Even a racehorse who may or may not know what a horse race is herself, she's going out there to, you know, I suppose to do what her jockey wants to do. And that race just had so much resonance. Like, it's funny, when Sam Crowe and Lorena won, whatever year that was, like, I won serious money at Cheltenham that year because I had the two of them anti-post, but I don't think of those races that much, funny enough. No, it's kind of, I probably...
You think of Honeysuckle or you think of something else?
Yeah, I think of Honeysuckle, and, like, races that really meant something, you know.
Denman caught a star.
Yeah, that was, I actually had backed Denman, like, I had a sneaky each way bet because it'd be 9-4 and I was like, I don't mind backing a 9-4 if I can't see the horse out the first three. Granted, there was a horse running yesterday who I said, like, this cannot be out the first four. It was favourite, finished fifth. Sometimes goes wrong, but like that race, I remember back in Denman and being in the Denman camp and really enjoying the race because it was one of these races from the get-go. Denman's in a great place here, but it's more what Cheltenham can do as Honeysuckle, like, and for the de Bromhead family that time, you know. But it's more obviously great, big money is great, but it's more Sublimity meant a lot to me personally because I had put it up in the paper, and these things matter. Like, you want your column to be in profit.
Well, I put up Sizing John and Album Photo won their Gold Cups the first time.
It doesn't matter if nobody took their advice.
Hurricane Fly, I just brought out my book, Hurricane Fly, Champion Hurdle, it was the better than meeting, won.
Yeah.
At 4-1, it was only 4-1, but still.
I'm not sure anyone took my advice in Sublimity that time, but like, it didn't matter to me. It was there in print, and I just liked the story. It was trained by John Carr. Somebody said to me, John Carr won't train a Champion Hurdle winner, somebody in racing, and there was that dismissive view. Like, John Carr, I mean, if he's had a horse rated over 80 over jumps in recent years, he's had nothing. And it's to think, like, how he had Sublimity and the magic of that time for him.
Let's look at this weekend then, Johnny. Ferry House got the Bobby Joe Chase. This is the race that Nick Rockett won last year en route to winning the Grand National at Aintree. But when I was going through it for the 3 mile 2 furlong test, I wasn't really impressed by many of the horses in the lineup. I think a lot of them have got questions to answer. Where do you want to start with it?
Yeah, that's the same. Like, there's a race in Ace when you're like, God, this horse is 6-4 favourite. And you're looking at this race like Gordon Elliott's having three-card brag, who Jack Kennedy rides with Cherry Colomb. Like, Jerry Colomb is 14-1 with William Hill. Like, this is a horse everyone was talking about as a Gold Cup contender until recently.
But he was, but then he had a layoff.
Stellar story Gordon has as well, like, who was, you know, didn't run terribly badly at Leopardstown the last day. Jerry Colomb, I was at Gordon Elliott's prior to the Gorn run when he was going back over hurdles and basically said he's not where we want him over fences. just kind of seems in decline. Like intense raffles, well backed in the Thaestes, pulled up again. The ground was so bad at Gorham. Would I give him another chance? Spanish Harlem. Like, Spanish Harlem is 9-2, but was 28-1 in the Thaestes. And I will say one thing about the form that day. The ground was so bad, I'd nearly throw it out the window in some respects. And when he ran behind Panic Attack, he was 22-1, whereas one of his rivals behind Panic Attack that day was way, way shorter, who's running here. Then you bring in Grange Clare West, who you were, I think, talking up as a potential winner the last day on bad ground in a Grade 1. Very, very tricky race.
Yeah.
On what will surely be really testing ground. Well,
Stellar Story is a Cheltenham specialist. He beat the jukebox man at Cheltenham and is capable of prevailing in this type of test, but you'd have to bank on his consistency, and that's not guaranteed. I mean, three-card brag. Earned a deserved win at Cheltenham in October, finished second to the Newbury Gold Cup in November. He's been off since then. He's a course winner. If he's sharp, he's got a chance.
Like, Stellar Story and Lecky Watson were first and second in a Grade 1 at Cheltenham less than a year ago. And one of them is 12s here and the other one is 12 as well.
Yeah, Lecky Watson has maybe shown that he's a spring horse. He's shown nothing this season so far. Like, I mean, if Paul Tennant was riding, or I don't, like, Grange Clare West, you can't trust. It's almost a race not to have a bet in. Captain Cody is the horse I'm interested in for the spring, but maybe the national weights are out, but he does need to jump better. But once again, Paul Tennant doesn't ride him. And he rode him in the Thaestes and he fell, so.
Nick Rocket won the race at odds on last year. Intense Raffles was second at 11-4. I'd maybe go with him. He's 33-1 this time around. You have to keep giving him, If he hadn't run at Gorn, I'd be kind of nearly willing to forgive him his run. So you really have to forgive him. But the ground at Gorn was practically unraceable. So I'm giving him one more chance in 10th Raffles, with doubts.
10 cent each way. Mm. What about Kempton? Is there anything, first of all, you want to pick out of Kempton? What was the most attractive race on the card for you?
Well, there are a couple of horses that are very interesting. Like, I thought the 225, the novices chase was
Pendle.
The thing about that race was that Jax Jr., when he disappointed Ascot, he bled, and then they gave him a second wind operation, and he won at Sandown last time. But to back a horse at 8-11 who's had a second wind op and who bled the time before is really risky, So Go West in that race for me is almost like a default selection. Straightforward horse, go out in front, and then we go on to the Dovecot.
What about Jasmine Bliss in that? I mean, she could be an improver. Mares do improve, and I found with Mares, you catch them in a hot spell.
She won at
Huntington last time out. Now, she got a bit defined on the ratings, but wouldn't discount her.
No, definite chance, and I feel there are a couple of races there at Kempton where you look at small fields and look at longer prices. Definitely has a chance as well. And she'll run her race, the Blue Brazil mare. The Dovecot then at 3:00. This was a race I thought was quite interesting in the sense of Mustang De Broy, who's entered in the Fred Winter. So JP McManus has he was going to have a strong hand in the Fred Winter, but this horse being a 14-1 shot at best in the Fred Winter and has a mark of 126, which should be fine for that race. You do wonder, will he just get like a kind of a prep run here for the Fred Winter, taking on a very promising horse in Double Measure, who was an easy winner at Huntington the last year. When the
was beaten in a Grade 2 at Haydock before that.
Yeah.
Is that a negative?
But only this, I mean, he's only had, that was straight after finishing second in a maiden hurdle. So he went in as a maiden. The last day, the second favourite, disappointed, but he looks a promising horse, taking on Club de Rev as well, who is, of course, a distance winner from the last day. Interesting renewal of the race. Probably won't have any repercussions for Cheltenham, apart from maybe that Fred Winter run.
And Mustang De Broy I put into the different colours on my card, and then Matibo was the other one I put in, a 7-length winner at Newbury last time, lightly raced type, could have an each way chance. Matibo at a price.
Matibo is an interesting runner. Won the last day at Newbury, and another of the 2 4-year-olds in the race. There might be a bit of pace pressure on, but it's a hard race to price up.
So the Adonis Juvenile Hurdle is the first of the Grade 2s at Kempton, 145 Saturday over 2 miles. Sometimes you have a triumph for a Fred Winter horse out of this. Like, Allure has never run in the UK before, from Noel George's stable, Best Watch maybe from France, but could be a decent animal.
Yeah, and I do wonder, I don't know if any of these have, many of them, sorry, have entries in the, so Allure doesn't, but like the other, One Horse Town finished behind Maestro Conti, who I think might have a life in the Triumph Hurdle the last day. He's very solid, like he will handle this ground well, good game horse for Pressure. He looks, probably to me, he looks better value than Precious Man, who was second to One Horse Town at Cheltenham, albeit was favourite that day. Won at 4-11 the last year, but it's going to be, One Horse Town is quite ground versatile. I'd probably have him very, very straightforward horse on level weights, Precious Man. Another horse who's had a wind up. But intriguing little race.
La Luna Artista won at Exeter at Warwick, then was fifth at Cheltenham in the race in which One Horse Town was second. But once again, a lightly raced mare, she could be worth not discounting either.
Now, I would say same comments about Fantasy World, who was like a mad short price the last year, Musselburgh, on the basis of having like very smart and good staying platform for Andrew Balding. He's 20-1. Like if he bounces back here, he could be with William Hill. He is 11-1. So he's bigger in other places. Probably get bigger. He's an interesting runner as well.
The 3:35 at Kempton on Saturday, the Ladbrokes Trophy. This was once the Racing Post Chase. I remember Gloria Victus winning this on. The ill-fated,
yeah,
yeah. Chance, another one interested me because Emma Mullins sent this horse over in the autumn and it won over the course and distance. Has been running over shorter trips now. Done a miler on board, 9-1 with Hills. That caught my eye. Katate Dori won the race last year.
I nearly have to go with Rising Dust. He's just, if you tip this horse up when he was beaten in Kilbeggan off, what was it, a mark of 86 in September, and you know he's basically won all around him since, one disappointed run, but he just keeps doing it. Beat Brave Fortune, who was well fancied the last day. Sean Bowen rides, he's bottom weight, going to give him a bit of a life. And you mentioned his stalemate Chance, another one really intriguing runner, and as you say, course and distance winner. This is a tough race, but Rising Dust, ex Michael Harrigan, he's running against horses rated in the 150s here and just keeps on impressing. Might have a life.
The Eider Chase at Newcastle, 4 mile slog in Saturday's card, 2:43 is the time. I remember had a bit of money on Val Dancer to win the Welsh National a couple of seasons ago, and there is money for it again now into 10-1 best price at the moment. Val Dancer, like off a low weight. It's all about Mr. Van Gogh. Mr. Van Gogh carries top weight, and then it means that the other horses have got low weights, including Knockanore, who won easily last year in this, and Angra's Crag won it 2 years ago, and he's the favourite.
I mean, this is a 0-130 with Mr. Van Gogh thrown in. He's 150. Like this is unusual. Like £24 first to second in the weight. So 12 stone. Do you fancy the absolute class of him on ground that's like as good to soft with, as far as I can see, no rain forecast? And when Nicky Richards spoke after Angler's Crag won at Carlisle, he said he hasn't had his ground. He's finally got, he needs digging the ground. And his plan is the Eider, but like that was his stable debut. He's not going to get that ground here, so you can probably nearly rule him out. Red Delta is a fascinating runner. This horse just stays all day, and even though he's 7 years of age, he's kind of had hunter experience and just stays. He's come in the betting now 12-1. Charlie Maggs takes off £5. I don't know anything about Fiona Needham, but for small runners, she's a very good strike rate.
Did she not train Cine Nominee?
You could be right.
To win the Hunter's Chase at Cheltenham. It looks like the same colours.
I know that she's had 6 winners from 24 runners in the last 5 seasons. So it's a name that kind of half rings a bell, but Charlie Maggs takes 5 off. So this horse has much been out with the handicap.
Yeah, same colours as Cine Nominee.
Probably more of a point-to-point hunter chase, which is where this horse came from as well. But he stays well.
Remember looking at that horse, you know, the one when you look at one the night before and then it was in 2024 Cheltenham.
And then it passed the line, you're like,
yeah. I was sick now. Won the Hunter's Chase at Cheltenham. It was money for it. I remember it was on soft ground. And yeah, it's the same colours. Cine Nominee.
There we go.
We have as well Lingfield. I mean, there's a Winter Derby. What is the Winter Derby? What is this all about? I mean, Ryan Moore riding it with Lingfield on a Saturday.
Yeah, there should be more runners. Like this card and the all weather sort of championship that, you know, the good all weather race in this time of year, you know, needs support. I'm surprised we only have 5 runners here. Like really, really good horses in this. Plenty of pace in the race, JD, which is going to be very interesting because Boiling Point is coming off having not run 147 days. Chancellor is a typically quirky kingman who's never won over a mile and two and has a stamina doubt. So I'm going to go with Sky Safari here. She ran in a what was called the Winter Oaks last time at Lingfield. Another big pot race. If you backed her, you were gutted. Like, she was just, Lingfield is like, you're looking at that horse coming down the outside, and if you're in front, you're just hoping that she would hold on. But she's progressed from 82 up to 102 in the space of, you know, a few months. And for me, Daniel Muscat will know exactly. She's going to be held up, come with that late run. And I just feel this is such a tricky race. Nebras, the Dubawi gelding, he's another potential pace angle in the race. So I just feel that Sky Safari, as much as she's not the best horse in the race, she just might be able to come with a finishing kick in a tactical race, because I wouldn't be trusting Chancellor at all.
I like Nebras, horse and distance winner. Mm. Ryan Moore rides Top Connections, has taken to the all weather. Might be good enough for me. It's interesting because Cheltenham's coming up and Punchestown and Aintree and all these meetings. Is your head out of the flat? My head is out of the flat completely.
I see, like, I follow Dundalk, so I actually...
What's happening at Dundalk? I mean, is it just...
Nah, yeah, like...
Was Aidan O'Brien running horses there, for example?
No, so the good horses really haven't come back yet. The last time I was there, I was asking trainers about their two-year-olds, and they're obviously edging into, like, the flat season is only about a month away. Like, a lot of it is kind of the same old characters, but I prefer the flat to National Hunt, so, like, I am watching it, but... This is a good card at Lingfield, like, and we'll, you know, you see the good, like, Stephen Thorne, for example, who we know, he's gotten horses with an eye to going to Lingfield and races like that, and they buy horses with a view to the good all-weather racing in Britain, which is better prize money as well.
Yeah, good prize money for this at Lingfield. Like, this race at Nice on Sunday, a 2 mile William Hill Racing Bet Builder Chase, grade 3, 5 runners. I had negatives about all these runners.
Like, 100%.
None of them. Like, Touch Me Not, Blood Destiny, Captain Guinness, Drum Gill, with Path to Rue. With every respect, I couldn't find positivity about any of them.
Yeah, that's the right. I more or less alluded to this earlier. When he won on Chase debut at Nace, I remember Blood Destiny, I thought he was absolutely spectacular. He was a horse who bombed in the Triumph, I think, and then he went over fences.
He was like battling that was Bland's Tower for a while.
Yeah, I've always felt he was an out-and-out two-miler. The problem is he bombed at the last day behind Western Diego. And even at these weights, like, to be backing him at 6-4, if I had to have a bet in the race... Because I still feel he probably has less negatives than the rest. Like, Touch Me Not has to give £9 to everything. That's going to be very difficult on testing ground. As much as he's solid, I'd go with Blood Destiny, but not with confidence. Pat Doru, you know, he could pick up the pieces, but he's a bit to prove.
Captain Guinness done at 11
years of age.
Like, won this 4 years ago, yesterday.
But, like, he ran a very lifeless race the last twice, so I can't have him either.
What about the Nos Nerea novice handicap chase? I mean, I'm looking at the 12 runners. I think 5 of them are JP McManus owned.
This is a puzzle now. This is an intriguing race. And if you have any race that's a handicap with so many McManus runners, like...
Check the market
and don't be afraid to back each way, if you know what I mean. Now, there's an interesting runner here. Cobalt St. George is one who's really progressed, I think... You know, Robert Tyne has done a great job with him, and he'd be a little bit like Rising Dust. He's low weight in a good race. My way of thinking, though, right? So this horse is a half brother, as you'd imagine, to, I know the way you're thinking, the Gold Cup winner. And what really interests me about this horse, JD, is, and again, I don't really like backing McManus runners on handicap debuts, so there's an element of not knowing exactly what to expect. When he ran on his debut at Leopardstown in a bumper in late 2023, he was favourite in a race where all the top yards were represented. Derek O'Connor rode him. He finished second. Now, what really interests me is that the next day at Navan, he finished second to an Emma Mullins trained horse called Harbour Highway. And right after that race, or shortly after that race, JP McManus bought Harbour Highway, which is always a sign to me, well, if you beat our lad, you must be good.
So they've obviously think a bit of this my way of thinking.
So since which time... he went to Punchestown under Mark Walsh, won at 4-5 in a maiden hurdle. His form since is pulled up 5th of 7, 3rd, pulled up 9th, nowhere, 4th. Now, that run at Limerick the last day was definitely a step in the right direction. He was nearly brought down at the second last. Without saying much, no flies on me, who was 5-2 for JP McManus, who was very well backed.
No flies on him, sorry, was
second. No flies on you, did he? He was second in the race. My way of thinking... Also for JP McManus, was 11-1 in the race. So
whether only or not beaten 4.5
and was quarterly. Badly hampered at the second half.
So you think he's coming back to form now?
I feel off 116, he's a fascinating runner. But you said it at start. You know,
watch the mark.
Jamie McManus has 5 in the race,
and also Mark Walsh,
on Gormaggett, who's an obvious type, warmed up for this over the course and distance with a very solid run on handicap debut the last day. And I've said this a million times: JP McManus horses on their second handicap start for me are more interesting.
Yeah, and Colin Murphy as well, you know, coming back to training.
This horse was second to Gaucher at Nace in a Grade 3 novice hurdle when he was a hot favourite less than a year ago, so he's definitely interesting as well.
Even Harvard Guy was running up a sequence there of hurdles not too long ago.
Yeah.
So that's the Nos and Aria. Are you watching much of the stable tours? Would you be somebody now who'd read Chatham stable tours?
No. Stable tours, I did enough of them in my day. They're grand, I'm picking up bits and bobs, but I'm kind of.
Is this information overload when you're reading stable tours?
Yeah, there's a bit of that. And stable tours are a bit different. Like if you get, sorry, this is the other thing. If you get a trainer at a preview night, he could be half drunk, right? And they do open up. Like, it's as simple as that. If you have a stable tour for the Racing Post, I remember Kevin Prendergast meeting me for a stable tour at, like, I'll meet you at the car at 6:30, I think it was. Kevin was probably like mid-80s at the time. And we came in and he said, "Do you like duck eggs?" Which was kind of a nice segue into racing, because I back out a lot of horses with duck eggs or whatever. But we had duck eggs, and I was chatting to Kevin was like, he just had very little to offer on any of the horses, but it was early in the morning.
Duck eggs,
right? Everything was really kind of stern and austere. Cheltenham preview nights, trainers might have a few pints of them. They're not. They open up. So stable tours, for me, they know that they probably have an idea of what they're going to say beforehand. It's not so much off the cuff.
Right.
And so I prefer a stable tour when the trainer has a pint in front of him or her.
What does a duck egg taste like?
It's stronger than a chicken egg, and much bigger, and a white what's the word I'm using for the white outer?
The album.
What's a white shell? It's a 5-letter word, one syllable. It has a white shell. There's plenty of eating in them.
Is it the same? Is it like a yolk and a yellow and a white? Is there
always the same, as David Brent was telling the guy? Always the same in the questions about his, but much bigger and stronger, like gamier, as you would expect. Like, I love duck meat; I think it's phenomenally tasty. But I always remember that Kevin Prendergast, Kevin was a man who would have a few pints most nights, went fishing, shooting, playing golf well into his 90s.
That's a great life, yeah.
And always would still, I'll meet you at 6:30 at the bridge at the car or whatever. I was like, oh my God. But the stable tour was very difficult, because it was like, say there was a horse. Kevin used to have horses for to give the apprentices experience, and they'd run in his wife's colours or whatever. Lovely idea. So I'd be like, horse A, he'd come up on this. Right, so horse A. And Kevin's entire spiel about that horse would be, he's one for the apprentices. So I had to somehow put up 2,000 words. From Kevin would have one line, and he wasn't flying it at the time. But what a man. Like, an absolute inspiration of a man. And one of the, very much, the likes of him and Edward O'Grady, badly missed of those late trainers who passed away lately.
Yeah, well said, Johnny, well said. We're delighted to have in Dublin Sam Norris.
Absolute scenes.
Often joins us from the William Hill metropolis in the UK, and always gives us the odds and the insight. And Sam has made his way to Dublin for one day only, Sam. Welcome to the Off the Ball studio and the Racing Pod.
Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be on the Emerald Isle, and it's a double dose of Johnny Ward for me today as well, so... Yeah, things don't get much better than
duck
that.
Eggs, double doses.
Well, the 5 o'clock at Nace, which is the race we were just talking about, sponsored by William Hill, they've somehow laid out the top horse. He's gorgeous for Sam coming over to Ireland in a William Hill sponsored race.
Well, I know you're modest, Johnny, but you don't need to.
No, I'm talking about, and a fresh faced 31, is it?
31.
I was like, you do not
even 33-1.
Yeah. No, not even, and doesn't look his age.
Sam, you're very welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And he's a Wolverhampton Wanderers fan, so he's actually feeling slightly better about life.
Yeah, well, thank you for, as a Spurs fan, putting up to the Arsenal the other night.
You are most welcome.
Hashtag they're bottling it. I told you this, JD.
I tell you what I loved as well about that. It was 2-2. Obviously, we've got nothing to play for other than beating Derby's record. And we put the ball in the corner at 2-2. We could have gone for another, but it was just like, nah, let's just wind Arsenal up. This will be funny. Which I loved.
The winding up didn't stop there.
I once was at Molineux about 2019. See Spurs and Wolves, and the Spurs were all told their fans, you've got to go to the Holiday Inn beside the train station. and that's the Spurs pub where you that's
Holiday
where you,
Inn.
Yeah, you don't go anywhere. Like, that's the away fans pub, and it was lashing rain, and we had a few drinks and then went to the game, and Spurs won in the last minute. So it was but a really good atmosphere at Molineux. Really enjoyed it, and like, it's a big part of the town.
Yeah, huge. And it's obviously, it's walking distance from the train station, which a lot of grounds aren't. It's part of the city, and that kind of that lesser away fan experience we quite like. They have to drink in the hotel. There was a hotel called the Blue Brick for a while, which was the only designated away fan pub. So, yeah, we kind of... My advice to anyone who ever goes to Molineux is drink in Birmingham and then get the tram to Wolverhampton.
What's the boozer every other day of the week, though?
Billy Wright's. That's not Billy Wright's pub there.
There's a pub called Billy Wright, the Great Western. But they're nearly all focused toward home fans. So, the advice to away fans is to start in Birmingham. And then make your way to Wolverhampton.
And is Wolverhampton's racetrack near the town?
I have walked there from the Molineux before. It's a decent walk. And then they've obviously got the dog track now in the middle of the horse racing track. I think they've got their first meeting, horses and dogs, coming up in the next couple of weeks. But they have this at Dundalk, right?
Yeah.
They have the horses first, then they have the dogs after.
Going to be my stag.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be. Instead of doing the Leopardstown Shelburne Park double, let's just go to Dundalk.
The Dundalk double.
I had a runner in Wolverhampton. He was a favourite in a low-grade flat race. And I woke up, he was running on Saturday, I woke up, and it was actually great. And you just got Birmingham to airport to Wolverhampton is very straightforward. Mm. The horse was well beaten, but it was like really friendly and like just a cool play. It was like low grade flat race on a Saturday, but it was a lovely night.
Yeah, Wolverhampton. Remember Molineux? You'd watch old Molineux, and there used to be just a grass bank. Was one of the stands back in the day. Have you been racing in Ireland, Sam, before?
I've been racing once in Ireland, and probably not to one of the more famed tracks. Believe it or not, Tipperary is the only Irish venue I've frequented.
The Junction, Limerick Junction, it used to be called.
Right by the train as well.
Yeah, we were in the area anyway doing something. I was quite young at the time. My dad was probably trying to show me some kind of actual culture. But we thought, oh, we're quite close. There's a meeting on at Tipperary. And we went. And this was kind of pre having all the form on your phone and stuff. So we just had the race card. Dad didn't really know the Irish form inside out. I certainly didn't. And we ended up just kind of paddock watching for the day. It actually didn't serve us too badly, to be fair. I can't remember any of the names of the horses who won, but yeah, of all the tracks in Ireland, that's the only one I've been to.
Very good.
I must do something about that soon though, and visit.
He wants to get to them all.
Another one.
How many of you have
14 out of 26 in Ireland,
which long is, way to go.
Yeah, long way to go. But Laytown is definitely one that you should consider.
You should come over for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a meeting every year that like all...
Racing on the beach.
All UK people think, oh, we'll definitely do the pilgrimage next year to Laytown. And then by the time it rolls around again, like I couldn't even tell you when it is in the... Is it September?
September. Right, yeah.
It seems to sneak up every year and you think, must book to do that.
You could get an audience with John Duggan and Johnny Ward.
Well, that's it.
If you get that spot that we had by the rail where you get somebody to go to the bar in rounds... And then you just hold that rail position if it's a nice day. But you have horses who are running off their turf marks who could have way better all-weather form. So it's actually a really intriguing meeting to see the British come over, but also from a punting perspective, it's one of the most interesting meetings of the year, I think.
Yeah, because Jamie Osborne and the Melbourne 10 Syndicate, used to send a battalion every year, didn't they? I don't think that's the thing. I don't know if those owners exist anymore.
Yeah, I haven't. They weren't there the last couple of years, anyway, but it's a great day out.
Ah, yeah, absolutely. What are we looking at this weekend then, Sam? Where's the money going?
I'll probably start with the Bobby Joe, really, because it's that's just been the Grand National trial over the last couple of years, hasn't it? Aya Maximus did the double 2 years ago. Nick Roquette did the double last year as well.
You mentioned your traders. I mean, I wouldn't envy them pricing up this race or the race named after you. Sorry, the race in Ace. Yeah,
because you've got the first four in the betting are all going to be Grand National bound, we think. Grange Clare West third in the race last year. He's 100-30. He's the fav. He's the mount of Paul Townend. We kind of say this every week. Whatever Paul Townend gets jocked up on, we tend to chop another half point off where we were already because it's always going to be popular. Spanish Harlem second in at 4-1. He was going to win the Thyestes last time around. I know it's a bone of contention for connections because he's been handicapped like he did win the Thyestes for the Grand National. Three card Bragg's probably been the mover in the betting, 5-1 into 9-2 since we opened. I quite like the look of Captain Cody at sixes. I mean, he won the Scottish National laughing at them last year. He's guaranteed a run at Aintree. He's 34 on the list, so he's definitely going to get in. He is off the back of a fall last time around, but he'd be the one, certainly I think Aintree-wise, that I'd be interested in. Or whether or not he can go and win the Bobby Joe en route, as the last two winners have, is open to question. But we will have a ton of specials come tomorrow for horses to win this race and then go and back up in the National. So if you fancy one of these for the National and you've got a couple of quid spare, it might be worth just topping up on that as well, because there'll be big prices. But yeah, smashing renewal. Each way extra is obviously going to help the each way punters. But three card brag, the first move in the betting, and yeah, you could give chances to loads of them.
Yeah, actually a bit of money for Johnny's selection in Tense Raffles into 22s now.
Yeah. He was 25s outsiders to start with, yeah, so I can...
I know you say, like, a horse wants soft ground, and, like, he was second in the Grocknan race last year. The ground at Gorn, for me, was pretty much unraceable, Thaestes. They just got through it, and he was pulled up when he was 9-1, so somebody did fancy him for the Thaestes.
What about Kempton, then? Sam, what are we thinking? We got a few grade twos, we got the Ladbrokes Trophy as well.
Yeah, it could be an informative day of racing at Kempton. Obviously, you've got the juveniles in the 145, it's the rematch between One Horse Town and Precious Man. One Horse Man beat Precious Man at Cheltenham back in November, but he was getting £5 that day, 3.5 length beating. They meet again off levels today, and Precious Man is actually rated by the handicapper £1 better. So that's why they're this way round in the betting. He's 4-5, Precious Man, and One Horse Town is 3-1. They're both still in the Triumph. He's been very busy for a juvenile, One Horse Town. This is his seventh run of the year, which... you wouldn't get too many juvenile hurdlers, and certainly not at this level. You know, you might get a juvenile hurdler who's just quite a hardy sort, who just takes in a lot of lesser races. But it's interesting they've gone to the well so many times within One Horse Town. I think he's got a squeak of confirming that form. And the money horse has been the Lunar Artist, who was 14-1 this morning. I wrote down 11-1 maybe half an hour ago, and he's now 10-1. So the money keeps coming for him, Lunar Artist. He's got a bit of work to do to turn it round with One Horse Town from their last meeting, but... the money for the Jane Williams horse in that one is of some interest, I think. And in the 3 o'clock, another horse who, you know, potentially is in this division, Mustang DeBroy, is 5-1 from 11-2.
Right.
He's obviously joined Nicky Henderson and JP McManus from O'Toy, much like Man Lager in that respect, who's a leading fancy for the...
See, he has his mark for the Fred... well, he has a mark now, so his Fred Wintermark would slightly worry me. I did want to mention Desert More News in that race, because he won as he liked. He was a point-to-point horse, finished third in Ireland. He won at Sutherland. I don't know if Sam saw the race, but he said the Tom Ellis, the trainer, said afterwards, "I met the owner in a bar at Cheltenham before Christmas. We had a drink together, and he said he likes to support people getting going in life." So, like, you know, not the established, but...
one on a canter.
Yeah, I put forward another horse to James from an Irish point-to-point when he said he would like to buy one, but he liked the horse that finished third, which is this horse. So he's a good eye for one. Dennis Lee, his former trainer, said not to run him on too soft ground, and he'd be lovely, straightforward horses, easy at home. He's a really intriguing runner. He's 14-1 top price with Hills, and will get good soft ground at Kempton.
And Lexington Wood was second by Ballyfad for Philip Fenton before going to Ollie Murphy, who he runs for the first time. So
intriguing runner.
That is an interesting runner. I mean, Lexington Wood, how he's adjusted to life in the UK, but like that form is no slouch, that form behind Ballyfad, who's highly rated in the novosphere. What about the Eider Chase in Newcastle then? Any views in this one, Sam, from a market perspective?
Before we go through the betting, we were having this conversation in the office the other day. Now that they've made all the changes to the Grand National, it's obviously easier than it ever used to be. Do you think the Eider Chase is now the most gruelling test for a horse?
Well, you'd have...
given the jumping test,
depending on the ground, like.
And also, I mean, look, it's generally going to be softer ground than, say, Ayr for the Scottish National.
Yeah, and even Newtoxton for the Midlands National.
Yeah, and the Irish National. I think the Irish National is a good test. The Welsh and Irish Nationals, I would say, are good tests.
If the Irish National comes up heavy, which it often does, that's probably the ultimate.
Because I think you've got a better class of horse than the Irish National.
Both fences as well.
So I remember watching Aya Maximus win there before he won at Aintree, and it was about five or six finishers.
Yeah.
And they were staggering over the line, but it was a really good test.
But the Eider on test and ground, which is not the case tomorrow, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like when you get into the 4 miles territory, you're getting into real extremes.
Yeah.
Which the National just isn't anymore.
No, sadly. Val Dancer for me anyway.
Now, having said that, if the National came up heavy this year, which may happen...
but it's a 4 mile hurdle now.
Even if it were a 4 mile hurdle, that's still like, that'll sort the really tough steers from those who just don't.
Yeah. So Val Dancer's got a bit of money for him, Sam, I see.
Yeah, he's obviously a Welsh National winner, so he's got a fine profile for the race. He is a popular enough one in the betting for sure. Angler's Crag obviously has got, you know, his supporters, winner of the race a couple of years ago off 126. He's now off 130, but it was just a bounce back to form from him last time around. I don't know if he just lost his way for previous connections, change of scenery, etc. Saw him get his head back in front. So he's 11-2 into 4-1 at the top of the betting. Val Dancer, as you say, is 15-2 from 9-1. And Mr. Vango is obviously another horse who's on the Grand National trail. We know East Days, he's a Midlands National winner. Johnny makes a good point about the ground being good to soft, though, and it being maybe an unseasonably quick. I don't know how they've got good to ground, given the rain we've had.
It's been raining for the last 2 months here.
But somehow it's good to soft. I know they'll mind this horse, Sarah Bradstock. She won't be running unless the conditions are right. And he does like soft ground, Mr. Vango. But if they do get a drop of rain, I mean, he's a relentless stayer on soft ground, so he'd be of interest at 13-2. But whether they'd run him on good to soft with a view to going to Aintree as well, I'm not sure. And the only other one that could be of interest in the race, Red Delta, who we've just seen nibbled at all week, 16-1 into 10-1. Fiona Needham.
Johnny likes this one.
Obviously had Sine Nomine, who won at the Cheltenham Festival.
Yeah, we were just saying, like, that was a good shout, so I wouldn't know my Hunter Chasen necessarily. Yeah. But.
Charlie Maggs is booked, think he's good value for his five, and it was a big step in trip for this horse, but he won the Lincolnshire National at Market Raisin on Boxing Day.
Just stays.
As he liked. He looked like a horse who'd get 4 miles. Trainer knows a stayer when she sees one. So it's just interesting that that's been kind of chipped away out through the week for a yard that it's not a household name, albeit, you know, Sine Nomine obviously put the name up in lights. But yeah, we'll be interesting to see if Red Delta continues to attract support.
Putting you on the spot here, Sam, but any money for anything at Cheltenham that you've been noticing the last week or so at William Hill?
Well, the handicap markets are just kind of starting to sort of bubble up now. We obviously had the weights announced for the handicap swap on Tuesday. We've seen, you know, cash for horses who look as though they're being plotted up for those races. Jericho de Repene, for example, who's looked as though he's going to be Kim Urban. He's kind of shortened up to the top of the betting. Liabilities-wise, the horse that at the moment is going to be costly in the handicaps at Cheltenham is trained by Dan Skelton, that's no surprise. Supremely West, who runs in the Potemps on the Thursday. He's 7-1 at the moment. We've got a big liability on this horse. In fact, I was speaking to the William Hill trading team about this horse and about liabilities in Cheltenham in general. And they can be a bit doom and gloom, the traders. But he said, if we don't get Supremely West beat, it's going to be a bad Thursday. Now, to be hanging the whole day on one horse in a handicap 3 weeks out, I'm sure it's not as bad as that, but he is a notable liability at the moment.
Wait till you see the, whatever the Springer is in the Fred Winter. Like, that race, phenomenal to look at. Like, the genealogy taking on Charles Burns, Munsif Charles Burns, is another horse in the race. Munsif was behind Saratoga the last day.
You can get shocked, though. I mean, Jeff Kidder won that at 80s. I mean, it can be a bit of a graveyard.
Jack Inquiry was beaten in the race by Brazil, yeah, who's a half-brother to Saratoga. I like Saratoga, but I mean, it's not like he's been missed. Fred Winter is the angles this year are just phenomenal. Like, so many ducking and diving, and
a hard race. If you want to plot something, it's a hard race to be plotting for. Easier races to plot for than that.
But you kind of can get in, like, as in you don't need to achieve a very high level of form to get in off 125, give or take. So that's not that high. But I'm going to get the trumpet out here. I back Dabaroon to win the first renewal of it.
It's only 20
five
years
each way. Five each way. Nina Carberry rode it, and I love that race ever since. I'm not sure I have a great record in it at all, actually, since, but I certainly backed the first winner.
What about the championship races? Anything of note in the championship races? Will we see Factofile in the Gold Cup, I wonder?
Well, yeah, I mean, the fact that we're not running money back on all 28 races at the festival has kind of framed the Gold Cup and the Ryanair betting. Factofile and Gaelic Warrior, we don't know of the two who's going to go. At the moment, the big liabilities in the championship races are still kind of from last year, multiple popular horses.
Right, yeah.
Galopin' Deschamps, Constitution Hill, Marine Nationale. They're the big losers in the book at the moment, because people, you know, have been betting them since last year. So if we can get those horses turned over. But whether they're going to be as popular now, I don't know. So come day of the race, the book could look very different.
It's Hills is non-runner, no bet. This is, you just look up horses, and if you have any doubts about anything else, anything in the race, just be happy with, you'll get your money back.
Johnny, more time for your charity bet, €50 or 25 each way. What would you like this week to select?
I am going to go at a price on. I'm going to just go. This is a little bit chancy now, but that race at Nace that we spoke about, in which
last on Sunday.
This is a bit chancy.
The Nos Maria Chase, 5 o'clock on Sunday at Nace. 25 each way or 50 on the nose, Johnny?
50 on the nose, in my way of thinking.
9-1, 50 on the nose, my way of thinking, 5 o'clock at Nace on Sunday. If Johnny Ward's charity bet
disappoints you on Sunday, don't give up on him.
My way of thinking, and Johnny thinking very cleverly, we'd like to hope on the charity bet this week on the Racing Pod. Sam Norris, you're very welcome to Dublin.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your stay, and
thanks,
look forward to seeing you here again.
Thanks, chaps.
Sam Norris there and Johnny Ward on the Racing Pod. We'll speak soon, folks. Have a great weekend.
The Racing Pod.
On Off the Ball.
With William Hill. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Off the Ball.
GAA.
I always feel like the best players were able to grab a game by the scruff of the neck when an opportunity kind of presented itself. Great players and great teams were able to kind of seize that moment.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.